condolences and praise the Lord for hope. And also condolences for the Kim family, Young and Christiana. I know Young's brother passed away, I believe, the week before. So also, there is pain. And there are questions sometimes that even in the family of God, we have to face. And some of us might be even asking the question, God, how long? How much more of this do we have to see? Because it's not only happening in Syria or Venezuela or Mexico, but it happens close to us. It touches every family in one way or another. And I believe that many of us, as we face those difficult times, we long for this blessed hope to be a reality. We long for the day when Jesus will come again. And what a blessed hope, brothers and sisters. What a blessed hope. And as God's family, well, what a privilege to be able to share this hope with others. Because it's not something that we should just share among ourselves here and study about it and talk about it here. But it's our privilege to go outside these walls and share something that is different. Something that the world today is longing to hear. Nowadays, people are coming to us asking us, why are you at peace even when facing these challenges? And I believe we have something to share. Something that is found in the Word of God. And that invites families, invites homes, churches, and communities to understand and to practice. I believe if there's anyone who's interested in homes today, that is God. He is the inventor of home. Amen? He was the first one to set this beautiful garden for that couple, Adam and Eve. And he made it just perfect. Perfect so that they could thrive in relationships. Perfect so that they could thrive in understanding instruction. A perfect home. Where there was transparency, honesty, and a great communication. But we know that because of sin, our experiences at home for some have been beautiful, amazing at times. And for others, it's been difficult, challenging. And when we think of home, we might not have very fond memories of that word. So Pastor Greg and myself, we've decided that for the month of July, for the month of August, we want to speak on the topic of home, family. And we believe that if there's a strong, solid family, we'll have a strong and solid church. Amen? And if we have a strong and solid church, we're going to have a strong and solid community. And if we have a strong and solid community, we'll have a strong and solid nation. And if we have a strong and solid nation, we'll have a strong and solid world. It goes back to the decisions that we're making day to day at home. And we might think at times, doesn't really matter. Who knows? Who cares what happens at home? But it matters, brothers and sisters. It matters so much that God left instructions for all of us, that if we follow them, if we heed, listen to them, it will make not only a difference in our life, but it will make a difference in the life of so many other people around us. So where do we go when we talk about family, when we talk about home? Well, where should we go? And I think we should always go to the beginning, amen? Where God presents the ideal home, a place that he created, he made. And Genesis chapter 2 tells us time and time again that it was God who created the heavens and the earth. It was God who formed man. It was God who made this garden. It was God who made the animals. It was God. And if somebody out there tells us it was something else, don't believe it, brothers and sisters. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2 emphasize it was God who made it happen. I had a friend who had the opportunity to travel the world. He was 17, 18 years old when he saved up some money, had been working and going to school, and he told his parents, I'm going to go on this world tour. So he took a year off to travel the world. New Zealand, Australia, the United States, the Philippines. He wanted to see it all, or as much as you can see in 1 year. How many of you would like to take a year off? Some of you think, I can't really, I want to, but he said, I'm doing this right now, and he went on to travel and saw beautiful places, amazing places. But after a year, when he went back home, he shared many years later with me, he said, Samuel, there was no place like home. No place. No place like home. And what is it that makes home so special? What is it that makes home so different and amazing? Is it the smell of baked goods in the kitchen? Or the smell of detergent mixed with oil in the garage? Our pets. My nephew and niece recently had the opportunity to go to Italy. And they also had the opportunity to go to Israel. And their uncle was calling them every day, calling them. I wanted to know where they were at that moment, and send me a picture, send me a picture. And I was living it through them. So they were showing me these different places. By the end of the almost 3 weeks of traveling, I said, so where are you now? And they were like, we're ready to go home. I thought, was it the bed they were missing? Their own room that they were missing? Their own food? Or maybe they were tired of walking and walking all around. And they said this, we miss our church. Amen? 13-year-old, 9-year-old, we miss our church. We want to go see our friends again. And people we know. What does Genesis chapter 2 tell us about home that we can learn, that we can put into practice? Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, gives us one key element, I believe, that God shares with us in this chapter. And verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If I read this correctly, the Garden of Eden was a beautiful place. And in the Garden of Eden, there was also good food. I want to believe that in the Garden of Eden, good food, as I heard an amen over here, was important. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I remember going to my grandparents' house. And just didn't matter if we got there at 11 p.m. or it was more like 1 in the morning, traveling by car for 2-3 days sometimes, eating out of these little lunch bags or stopping at a fast food restaurant and grabbing something just to get to our grandparents' place. And just knowing that didn't matter the time of the day when we would get there, Grandma was ready with food. Amen? She had it all prepared. She'd been preparing for days in advance. She had the rice, the beans, the salad, the dressing for the salad. And we would just all gather around the table and just take a bite of this delicious food and go like, wow, this is amazing. This is home. It was a place that was nice, attractive, where I felt comfortable bringing friends. And it didn't matter who would come, there was always food. It's interesting how so many memories are made around the table. Amen? And I know that these days it's so difficult to sit around the table and be part of this very important event, because we're constantly on the go, 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 go. But if there's an element that we should keep in mind as we think of home, it should be a beautiful and inviting place. A place where we would love to invite others to come and know. Home is also a connected and resourceful place. We go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 and on. It says, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. There was a river. There was a source of life that came out of the Garden of Eden. It wasn't something that just those who lived in Eden enjoyed, but it went beyond the borders of that beautiful home and connected all these different lands to this one place that God had prepared for his couple, his children, Adam and Eve. Our homes, brothers and sisters, are they to be a place that is resourceful. And we might be thinking, Pastor Sam, there are two people working at home right now, and I just can't wait until my 18-year-old or 19-year-old starts working, because we're going to need those resources. Praise God that He is the one who provides. Amen? He is the one who gives. Amen? He is the one who gave this river to flow out of Eden. And God's plan for homes was that we would be there to provide life, not just for our own, but to all those we entered in connection with. Rivers are also a way of transportation. And we praise God that the United States of America has the Pacific on one side, has the Atlantic on the other side, has the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean on the south side, connecting the entire world to this country. And because of it, we are able to also do commerce. We're able to give and receive resources from others and to others. And God's plan from the beginning was to be that source for His children, and that that home would be connected to those around it. Another key element that I see here in Genesis chapter 2 is found in verse 15. And we've heard this before. Chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." I don't know about you, but I learned to work at home. It was my mom who taught me the importance of work at home. And it wasn't only work outside, taking care of the trees or planting trees or watering trees or mowing the lawn, or washing the car. But it was also work inside the house. Amen? And I'm so grateful to my mom that she taught me the importance and the very important skill of washing dishes. Today, Carolina is very thankful that I wash dishes, that I can sweep the house, that I can mop too. All of us have a responsibility at home, and this is the place where we can learn to work, to serve one another. That is literally what it says here in chapter 2, verse 15, to serve the ground, to treasure it, to protect it, to keep it. All of us are invited to participate in taking care of this home. Verse 16, instruction. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God gave very clear instructions. And we understand that laws, policies, instructions are important. Without it, it becomes chaotic. And we also know the consequences when these laws and policies are not followed. Especially for Adam and Eve, it brought suffering. It brought pain. It brought division at home. It brought death. So God says every home should have its rules and regulations. It should have its principles by which it lives. And it should be stated in a very clear way. And I am grateful to my parents that when I was growing up, they clearly told me, Samuel, look, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. I still had a choice to make. Sometimes I did a good choice. I made the right decision. And good consequences came. And sometimes I didn't. And my mom, with tears in her eyes, said, Samuel, I said this would happen. And for me, the most painful of all consequences was when my mom said, you cannot go outside and play. I would tell my mom, in those days you could still spank, yes. In those days you could still share the pain as a child. And I would say to my mom, Mom, please. Please spank me, Mom. I really need to go outside and play with my friends, so just spank me. And you would think, okay, this only happened one time, two times. No, this was week after week after week. Mom, please spank me. I understand the consequences. My mom was firm. Yes was yes, and no was no, always. And I'm grateful to my parents for being very clear with their instructions and also the consequences for what would happen if I did not do my part. Another key element I believe that Genesis chapter 2 brings to us is this idea of relationships. And this is where we find this beautiful relationship that started right there in that home. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 tells us, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Does God know the need that we human beings have to relate to one another? Praise the Lord. And I believe one of the reasons why God has chosen not just families to share time together, to eat together, and do projects together, I believe that also God, knowing the situation in our world, we would need church to come together as one family where things are not always ideal at home, where sometimes things happen, but where we can come at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, and we can see other brothers and sisters, and we can say, hey, we're part of one family. We're not alone. And we can get through this together. And I'll pray for you. In fact, I'll pray for you right now. And how can I help? Oh, you need this? I know someone who can provide that for you. And there's this network that comes together and works together and prays together and suffers together, and rejoices together as well. And I believe that's something beautiful about home, are all the relationships that take place in that environment, where we can share with one another, where people can come to our home and get to know who we are. God knew that Adam was lonely. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave name to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. There were a lot of beautiful animals. And praise the Lord for pets, amen? And praise the Lord for a wild animal as Pastor Greg today shared with us. So meaningful to us and so close to us in many ways. And yes, we enjoy taking the time to see what is out there. I know that at least where I live, there's a beautiful hawk. And I hear that hawk every day. Just lets you know he's there. I get a little hummingbird that comes to my window almost every day. Zzz, zzz. I got this little flower out there that's red and yellow. It likes the red and yellow. So I hear it humming. The beautiful sunsets that we enjoy here in California and so many other beautiful things that we cherish. But there's nothing like people. There's nothing like talking to someone. There's nothing like shaking their hand, looking them in the eye, and sharing time together. And if there's something that makes church so beautiful is that we can come here, amen? And we can relate to one another and talk to one another. Verse 21 tells us that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. This was even God's doing. Someone shared with me one time that the reason why God took a rib from man to form woman is because it's what's closest to the heart. He wanted this beautiful pair, couple, to thrive in their relationships and grow. And Adam so poetically shares here in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Ye shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Beautiful words that tell us the importance of love at home. And it's a love, brothers and sisters, that I believe we begin to understand as we look at what Jesus Christ did for each one of us. As we look at the old rugged cross, it's a love that is willing to lay down his life for the other person. And I've heard that from many parents time and time again. I would give my life for my child. I would, in a heartbeat. I wouldn't think about it twice. And that's the kind of love that God had for us, and God expects us to have for others. Where in a heartbeat, I would say, hey, of course, not even think about it. And at home is where we can see that kind of love to thrive as we relate one to another. Home is supposed to be a safe place. A place where we find respect. I find this in verse 25 where it says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." There was nothing to be afraid of. There was nothing to be ashamed of. They could be transparent, open, share their thoughts, ideas. And I praise God that at home, my grandparents, it was that openness to talk and speak and share. And sometimes they agreed with me. Other times they didn't. And they shared it too. They didn't keep it to themselves. They shared. Hey, I don't think so. And if there's a place, brothers and sisters, where we could be ourselves, shouldn't it be home? Amen. And if there's a place where we could share our ideas, shouldn't it be at church? Amen. Come together, learn from one another. I was surprised by a definition of Wikipedia in regards to the home as not just being a place, a dwelling place. But this is what it says, a principle of constitutional law in many countries related to the right to privacy, enshrined in Article 12 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, is the inviolability of the home as an individual's place of shelter and refuge. And God had created this beautiful garden, this beautiful place where Adam and Eve would find safety and security and respect, an element that would keep their home together. And last, rest. Should home be a place where we can find rest? Should home be a place where you can take off your shoes and your socks and just sit back and go like, wow, this was a good day. Or this was a great week. The Bible tells us in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Time and time again, the statement, God made, God did, God formed, and he rested. Brothers and sisters, are your homes a place of rest? God wants it to be that. When people come, they want to find peace. Amen? When people come, they want to find a place where they can just relax. And I've had the privilege of being to many of your homes, and I've found that. A place where you could just put aside the burdens, the worries, the things of life. And you can find rest. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the reason why each one of these elements are present in this story is it's because God was present in that home. It is God who makes things beautiful. Amen? It is God who is resourceful and can connect us to the world around us. It is God who teaches us how to work and be responsible. It is God who gives us instructions to follow. And if we follow them, we will do great. It is God who's interested in all of our relationships, be it small or big. It is God who shows us how to be safe, how to respect one another. And praise the Lord, it is God in whom we find rest and peace. Is this an important topic that we should be sharing with our church family? Amen. This is a series that we want to start today. This is just an introduction of some of the topics that we will be exploring in the weeks to come. And as a church, I ask that you will pray for us. Pray for Pastor Greg. Pray for me. We feel a great responsibility. We understand the challenges that many of us face day to day. the limitations in many of these things that we just talked about. But I believe also that God, in His Word, has a lot to share. A lot of good things to share that if we put into practice, brothers and sisters, we can only expect home to be truly sweet, to be truly home, sweet home, a place where God lives, a place where love is experienced, a place where understanding and learning takes place, a place where the love of God is reflected in each of the individuals who are part of that home. And I believe that what we see at home will be reflected also here at church. And I can't wait to see what God will be sharing with us throughout the weeks to come. Amen? I believe this is an important message. A message that, by God's grace, we will continue to study, understand, and by His grace, do what He is calling each one of us to do. Amen. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing our closing hymn, a beautiful hymn, and it's hymn number 76 or 75.